Hello, my name is Lorraine of District 32, and I'm super excited today to be having a conversation with Deb Bisagi of Perth Grove Finance and Property Investment. How are you, Deb?
Hi, Lorraine. It's going lovely, lovely, lovely to see you.
Yeah, it's like this is an exciting topic, right? Everybody wants to know information about property and finance and portfolio. So let me just frame this. We're going to talk about, what are the problems you see in the market with people building portfolios, investment portfolios? How do we get around it? How do we generate cash? What do we need to know to start building property portfolios? So, Dev, I've given you a little bit of an introduction there, but do you want to just tell people how do you help people? How do you help people to
Fantastic.
build portfolios?
Yeah, thanks, Lorraine. Yeah, so the biggest thing I think in the market is just the lack of knowledge. And also, once people know, just how do we execute it? How do we actually take what we know in and put it into practice? So a big part of what we're doing at the moment is just educating people and coaching them how to get into the property market, but once you're in the property market, how to actually then build a property portfolio. We look at what's the things that actually can accelerate it and make it grow fast, and what are the things that's actually going to hold you back and stop you, prevent you from actually growing your wealth. So in underneath those two, there is such a vast spectrum of information. But I think the most people want to be wealthy. They want to grow financially. They want to leave a legacy for their children. So it is something that's close to the heart, I think, for most people. And it is something to say, okay, how do we do this? Just help us, basically.
So you help in ways, and I'll dig into each of these, but just to frame this, you help people with the strategy, the education. You also help them to generate the finance. And then you've also got an arm of buyer's agent as well. So you can actually help people find the property to go with the strategy and finance that as well.
The services actually evolved over the years when I started off just as being a mortgage broker and helping people to purchase property. So we've helped hundreds of clients, over $500 million of property purchases, just getting the finance done. But through the years, I realized there's a lot of misinformation out there. And it's very important for us to what we know and what we see that actually works to actually share that with people. So that's why we've come up with a model where we basically want to first understand the circumstances or the situation that they're in. We do want to see what the goals are and where they would like to be in the future. What's the time frame? Because somebody that's in their 50s have got completely a different strategy than somebody that's in their 20s. What's the capacity? And then how quickly could we help them actually invest in the right property to make them grow their wealth? And then leave that is the finance, because to go into any form of investment is you need your finances sorted. So we help, anybody, whether you're a self-employed person, whether you've got a big business, small business, whether you're an employee. We're looking at different funding options and models, whether it's from personal loans, mortgages, business finance, equipment finance. So there's multiple vehicles, even private funding that we can assist people. I always say, look, money is not the problem. Most people think, oh, money is a problem, that's why I cannot do something. That's not the truth. The truth is you don't have a plan and a strategy. Because once you've got a plan and a strategy, finding the finance solutions then becomes easy. So we do work a lot surrounding people's goal set. We look at mindset, but
And
belief
risk
systems. So
aversion.
we talk about that. We help them to dream big, if you can call it that way. That's why our program is also called the 10X Wealth Grow approach, saying, okay, look, how can we 10X your wealth, and just get you in a different frame of mind, and stop saying that it's impossible. So we want to make the impossible possible for people. So from the finance point of view, once that foundation is laid, then we carve out an actual strategy for the individuals to say, okay, what's going to work for you? Because 90% of people that do invest or buy investment properties get stuck with only one or two properties. So how do we get over those hurdles and actually help them exponentially grow and have a goal that is set out to where we're actually going to go? Because that will make a big point of call on what to buy and not to buy.
Yeah.
We would rather want to say no to buying something because it's not going to fit the strategy than just say yes for anything that you can find.
I thought it was a really interesting conversation with you, you know, because when you think of you're having the barbecue conversations, you know, and, you know, people find it nice to say, you know, I've got a little rental, I've got a little investment property, or got a little Airbnb, or this would be my dream to have this kind of home. And then after having a conversation with you, you know, you're sharing with me, telling me, you know, what I don't know. And that's that, you know, people get stuck there. So why do people get stuck with one property or perhaps two? What makes that a stuck thing? I would think, you know, that would be leverage to get another one. How do people get stuck there?
Look, the number one reason people get stuck, it's all to do with the compliance from the banks to say they've got a servicing calculator to say what they think you could physically afford and not. And a few years ago, the whole idea came about, which was a government incentive to talk about negative gearing. And a lot of people bought into that idea of, oh, you know, I can have a tax deductible investment property, but it's not costing me anything.
What is negative gearing, Dave? The people who don't know much about this, what is negative gearing?
That's a very good question. So negative gearing means that when you buy the investment property, what it costs you, in other words, the mortgage repayments, the maintenance, the rates and taxes, if that is more than what you're actually getting in from rent, you are negatively geared. So, in other words, it's actually costing you money. And if I bring that negative gearing into perspective, it is all good and true to say, look, I'm paying X amount of tax. So I want to reduce my tax. But the reality of negative gearing is if a property is costing you $10,000, it doesn't mean you can claim back $10,000. It only means you can claim back the taxable portion of it. So if your tax rate is sitting at 30%, then it's still costing you 70%. So that's a great deal. I would love for people to give me $1 and I give them 30%, 30 cents back, and they're quite excited because they just lost 70 cents. So that's why negative gearing has never been an attractive thing for us or something that we ever promote or think is a good thing to have. Great the fact that if you've got a negative geared situation that you can claim some tax back, so there's some relief. But in the long run, that's what will actually make you stuck in growing your portfolio. And the only way to explain it is if we use round figures, is if you are earning $100,000 and you can, with $100,000 worth of income, you can qualify for a $500,000 loan. Suddenly, if you're buying a negative geared property, the bank is going to look at your $100,000 and then deduct the cost. So if the property is now costing you another $10,000, they're going to say, actually, you're only earning 90. And because you're only earning $90,000, not $100,000, you now cannot buy more than $300,000. So the bank restricts you. So then you buy one or two negative get properties and then you're stuck. Then you cannot go and borrow more money to grow your property portfolio. And people don't know this when they get into property investment. And it's a very, very important point to understand. You know.
Well, thank you. So if we look at positively gearing then, you know, is that an option, or is it, you know, what, in your experience, do people generally go for negative gearing because of misconceptions around the tax breaks, or do they just see it as, yeah, it's going to cost me money because it's a long-term investment? Or is it both?
I think it's both, and it's probably because the barbecue conversation. Oh, I have got a friend, and he's claiming money from tax back, and it's so exciting. And it's just a lack of actually understanding and knowledge on the one hand, but also on the other hand, not knowing what is available. So if you don't know what's available, then you do what 90% of the people do. And that's unfortunately what most people do. Well, we'll just do what our friend did because they invested and bought a property somewhere and it's not costing a lot of money. So when we have a conversation from a strategic point of view with our clients is to say, look, there are cash flow positive properties available, but to find them is very difficult in the one sense. And that's why we've got a buyer's agency that actually does the research and actually do the homework. We, on a weekly basis, come up with lots of properties where you say, look, this looks like a great idea, but it's not in the right suburb, for instance. So it might give you a slight positive geared option on the one hand, but you're going to have a lot of maintenance issues. So there's a lot of things that we then consider when we look at purchasing a cash flow positive property for an individual. And I think one hurdle there for most people is but how do I manage it? You know, it's one thing to buy a property and I just get a tenant in and it's a property manager and I don't have to worry about it anymore.
What does it mean though? What is the definition of a, because when you were talking earlier about negative gearing and positive gearing, my brain automatically went to, okay, well, positively gearing means I've put down a whack of a 50% deposit and therefore it's positively geared. But you mentioned something there, you know, it's a positively geared property. So what defines a positively geared property?
So what defines a positively geared property is when the rental income is actually more than the cost. Now, if you've, for instance, in your example, if you've got, a heap of cash and you actually put it down as a deposit, then yes, you could slightly be positively geared, but the reality is your money that you've put in is not producing an income or the returns that it should be producing, because effectively you need to look at the full cost of what you've purchased and what will that actually cost you. If you took your $250,000 and put it in another investment, what kind of returns will that be generating for you as well? So you're actually shortchanging yourself just by putting a bigger deposit down. So when we look at cash flow positive properties, we actually look at the full costs. So if you've got an existing mortgage and you need to pull money out of that mortgage to put as a deposit on the one that you're purchasing, you're effectively borrowing 100% of the value of the property because the money just comes from another mortgage. So the rental income needs to be higher and substantially higher than what that property is actually costing you. Now, how can that be achievable? The possibilities are endless, but the things that people normally look at is dual or co-living. What is dual or co-living is when you can actually have two properties on one block, maybe like a house with a granny flat. Or you can look at renting out the individual rooms to individual people, because that way you're actually getting a more rental income. There's a difference between short stay and Airbnb. Short stay is not the same as Airbnb. Short stay is where people that's got family members coming from overseas, coming to live here for 3 months, they need to stay somewhere so that they can't afford Airbnb rates, but they're willing to pay a bit less for a short stay, but it's not for a week or a weekend. It's actually for a 2 or 3 months. Okay. Insurance companies that have got people that's claiming and they've got to vacate their home and they've got to live somewhere. So all those kind of scenarios will fall under the short stay banner. Airbnb is great when it comes to holiday accommodation, maybe closer to cities where people need to stay for a few days or maybe for a few weeks. But the cash flow positiveness in that is substantial.
Yeah.
Some commercial properties can deliver really good cash flow property and rent returns as well. The one that's very not well known or spoken about a lot is NDIS. And with the NDIS space, we see some properties getting up to 20% rent return versus just a normal home being rented out to a normal family only giving you 5% rent return.
Right.
That is huge. On $1 million, you're looking at $50,000 versus $200,000. So there is definitely scope in all these different areas for people to actually get a positive cash flow property.
So we've spoken a bit there about, you know, the positive and the negative gearing, which is great. But I've also heard you mention before, Dev, that it's important to consider the structure that we're actually buying or making these investments with. What does that mean?
Yeah, so there's different tax structures, if you can call it tax structures. You can buy something in your own name. You can buy something in a company or a PTY. You can buy something and get lending within self-managed super fund. So when you want to grow your property portfolio, you also want to minimize your tax. You don't want to pay more tax than you should. So the reality of positive cash flow or any form of income is that in the property game, if you buy a home investment property in your own name or in a company trust structure, you basically are going to pay tax on that income for the rest of your life. Plus, you'll be paying capital gains tax when you sell it. When you look at a structure like a self-managed super fund, the tax on the income will be 15% while you work. But once you retire, there's 0% tax on the income and also zero capital gains tax. So therefore, it's very important that when we look at people investing, is to say it's great to have a property in your name. It's also fantastic to have one in a company, because in a company setup, you want the profits or the benefits now. But what about super as well? Because you can have that benefit when you retire. Now, the tax implication in super can be huge versus in your own name, for instance. If you're on a 35-40% tax bracket in your own name, you're basically losing that income from the income that's generated. So in super, for instance, you could have one property that can almost generate the same income than you would have if two other investment properties in another structure.
Okay.
So that's why structuring is very important from the beginning.
I think it's also really important to let people know that they can have a self-managed super fund. You know, a lot of people who are employees don't know that that's an option. We don't know that you can create that and manage the investments yourself. You know, this was something I had no idea about until I was in business. And I speak to people, not because in business owners, we know everything, right? When we're out networking, we meet every person from every walk of life. I find a lot of people don't know that you can even do that.
Yeah. I'm not a financial planner or a self-managed fund advisor, so I cannot give advice on that topic. But I have a Australian credit license where I can give credit advice surrounding financing for self-managed super funds. And a lot of people don't know that they actually have these non-bank lenders available to fund almost any kind of property that you want to purchase in a self-managed super fund. We look at people buying NDIS properties within their super, commercial properties, normal residential properties, Airbnb properties. There's even an option where didn't exist a few years ago, where people can actually go and buy land and build within their super fund, and there's funding options available for that scenario. So from a funding percent, you can still borrow up to 80% of the value of the property within your self-managed super fund. The exciting thing in the super fund is you've got the rental income coming in, but you also have your super contributions going in. And if you are married or a partner, your partner's income going into that. There's actually rules to allow six members in the fund. So you could actually have your kids also join the fund, and everybody can contribute to paying off that loan. And I've seen people purchasing commercial properties and paying it off in 4.5 years.
Wow.
People buying other properties, paying it off in 7 years, just because you've got extra income coming in to reduce the loan and saving really hundreds of thousands of dollars on interest repayments to the banks.
And if we have any staff, I've been around the block a bit, with meeting different brokers and different strategies and stuff. And I've never heard, of this. And it certainly perked my ears up. I was like, so how do we get involved and what do we do and where do we start? And I've answered, all these questions myself for me personally. So where does somebody start with that, Dev? So let me ask you some questions first. Do people need to have an existing property for leverage for another loan? Do they need to have, how much savings do they need to have? How do people get started on an investment portfolio?
Before I answer that, I would maybe just like to explain this. When it comes to property, you actually only have two choices, really. One is capital growth and one is rent return. So you either invest to get capital growth, and the way to do that is not to do what 90% of people do, and that's just buy and hope that the market will actually go up. And you're in a cycle where you now got to wait for the cycles to go up and down to actually start making money. But when we talk about capital growth, as we talk about things that really adds value in a short amount of time. So instead of waiting for the market, you could actually add value by doing improvements to a property, doing renovations to a property, doing in additions to a property where you buy a 3x1 and you change it into a 4x2. Or you look at maybe adding a granny flat, or even looking at buying a property, subdividing it and selling the land, retaining the home, or looking at development where you can say you buy a property, you basically demolish the existing prop house and build three or four or five or six on it. So there's a range of ways to actually make capital growth in a very short period of time where you do not need to depend on the 7, 9 year cycles in the market space. So choosing between rent return and capital growth, those two options, it's finding what will work for you as an individual. Then it comes back to the finance, and then answering your question is, we've helped many people who had no savings to actually be able to purchase a property. One we've recently done was a $1.5 million property where the guy was a business owner, but he invested all his money into his business. So he could not have a deposit to actually purchase a property. So we looked at the whole scenario of the client, looked at what kind of business funding can we organize, what kind of equipment funding can we organize to put a deposit together for them to actually be able to get into real estate. So sometimes people are in employee, PAYG salary job. Didn't realize that they could actually, there's actually ways to take out a personal loan. Some lenders are still available that will actually look at that option for you as not non-genuine savings. People that I think where we see the best results at the moment is parents and children, where the parents have got equity in their property and the children can actually buy a property with no savings, zero savings, because they can finance the 100% of the purchase plus the stamp duty and the fees. And it will be done by securing basically the parents' property and the one that they're purchasing to get into the market. So it does depend on circumstances of the individuals, but we always try and find solutions to make it work. I think the main thing is as long as you can afford it and the serviceability works, then that's the key. People don't need to put themselves in a position where they're going to be in hardship. But then there's enough balances and checks with the banks in place to try and avoid that situation.
What do you think? I mean, as a obviously I don't have a property portfolio at the minute. I'm interested. How do you find people's mindset? We spoke about that in the beginning around going from that, oh, I might get a little rental to let's go hard on investing. Do you find that, what is your experience of working with people at? Or do people have to go bite size? Or do you just get people just leaping right in, let's do it? What is your
Look, I suppose, and that's one of the things that we touch base on in our seminars as well, is that we basically were sold into a system in the early 1900s that only benefited the banks and the governments. And they came about with the idea as let's sell to the people the American dream, the Australian dream is to own your own home. And then they've really made it attractive with all the nice things that you can add to a house or put a pool in, put a sauna and a jacuzzi in, and you're building this oasis for yourself and you're thinking, are you living the dream? But the reality is you just put a noose around your neck and you're sinking. And the example that I normally give to people is saying, if you go and purchase an $800,000 property, that property is going to cost you over $3 million. Because the amount of tax that you've been paying plus the interest to the bank, an $800,000 property over a 30-year loan term with 6% interest is going to cost you 1.82 million. So you've spent over $1 million on a property that's worth but only that you bought only for $800,000. So the reality of that shock to say, look, you must understand that if you just purchase a house to live in, it's never an asset. It's going to always be a liability. It's always going to cost you money for the rest of your life. So if that cost is so high that you are not able to then also invest into another property, you're jeopardizing your future. So from an emotional point of view, oh, it's fluffy, nice, I've got my own little place. But what is it actually costing you financially? And that's a good deep conversation to have with individuals or clients. Then comparing that to then investment to say, look, what about investment? Now, the key with investments is basically for the investment property not to cost you money, but to use other people's money to basically pay for your investment. So that's what the rich does. Everybody knows that's what smart people do. They don't pay for it themselves. They let other people pay for it. So when I refer to other people, I'm referring to the banks, I'm referring to tenants that will actually pay the investment. So if that's the case, where the property that you're purchasing is not costing you money and you're actually having other people to pay for it, then let's go big. You know, let's go big. Why would you worry about this? Because it's not going to cost you anything. Robert Kiyosaki in one of our videos on our YouTube channel, he claims that he's got $1 billion in debt. So most people say, "Oh, you mustn't make debt. You know, you're going to be in trouble." The wealthy property magnates out there—they've got billions of dollars worth of debt, and it doesn't faze them. Why? Because they understand the principle of using other people's money to grow your wealth. So that's one of the keys, I think, for anybody that want to grow a property portfolio is not to be limited in your mindset, looking at only what can my money produce. If what we've seen in the property market over the last 2 years only in Perth, property prices going up 30%. Some of the properties that we looked at went up from $500,000 to $800,000. That's a $300,000 growth. Now, who can actually save $300,000 in 2 years? It's almost impossible for most people. Yet, buying the right investment property, you've just made $300,000 in capital growth in a record time. So it is really a change of thinking, change of the mindset that plays a big role into growing your portfolio.
You certainly say some things that perk the ears up, Dev. Your depth of knowledge is amazing. That couple of things you said there that just that 1.8 million for an $800 house, that's just that would just make your heart bleed. But when you look at it like that, it's just absolutely crazy. And it's just a different way of looking at it. And I think it's taken, even if it's speaking with myself, it's taken me a wee while to get used to the idea and start thinking about the concepts. And because I think you have, well, for me, I have to do that, learn a bit, learn a bit. And I first heard it when you did an introduction to one of your seminars. And how you put together that video and what you were going to show us around, the secrets to building a property portfolio that you probably weren't taught at school. And you're now teaching these in webinars, not webinars, seminars in Wangaratta at the minute, is that right?
That's right, yes.
So how often are
Yeah.
you on them, Dev?
We're doing the fifth one tonight. So we started a bit more than a month ago. We try and package it in so we can have one, every week or every second week.
Right.
And then we also want to expand this from north of the river, maybe south of the river, and then down to Mandurah, Bunbury. And then hopefully over east, see if we can get to other cities as well to share this information. So the exciting thing that I find in the seminars is when it clicks, when you can just see people say, "Oh, okay, wow, how do we then now do this? How do we actually get out of this system that we are in, and how do we use the system to actually benefit financially?" So that's for me something that's close to my heart, and the coaching, the training side on that is very important. But then again, from there onwards, to say, look, it's one thing to know what you need to do. There's another thing to let's put it in practice. Let's actually now get your finances sorted. Let's go and actually find you the right property. Let's actually get the ball rolling, because before you know it, another year's gone, another 5 years is gone, and you look back and you say, "Oh, I should have." And I don't want people to say, "I should have," because I've done that for too long in my life. Like I said, okay, we cannot do anything about the past, but let's start today. Let's make a difference today.
I love your attitude and your growth strategy yourself, Dev. Let's go. We're going hard all around. I think it's just important, isn't it? I think it's so important that we do have access to alternative opinions, views, ideas on wealth. That's people have very different ideas around wealth and wealth creation and what we're entitled to and what we're deserving of as human beings, depending on which school of thought you've been brought up with, and to be introduced to concepts that we've never heard before, that were always there. There's no big deep dark secrets, but it's just not common knowledge, and there's not common knowledge for a reason, right? So I'm really excited to share these ideas and to share yourself, your business, and what I really like about you, Dev, is becoming that one-stop shop as you grow and develop your business. You can really hold people around every step of that process. It's not about, well, I'll help you do step one, two, and three, and then we'll send you to this person to do four, five, and six. You've actually provided this beautiful container where people can get involved where they're at. So I think it's very exciting. It's very exciting. So can I share the details of, well, I know you've got tonight, I'll share that on my socials today. But I'll just put your contact details, Dev, down below in the YouTube video, and people can reach out to you. They can book, and the seminars are free.
Free seminars, yeah, absolutely. And if they want to talk to me outside of the seminar options, one-on-one conversations is welcome. I've got a really desire to help and educate thousands of people. So for me, it is that desire to really make a difference in our generation, and just share the what 10% of people know, because we all have options when it comes to the property game. We're all on the same playing field. Doesn't matter if you're a doctor, engineer, or if you're a cleaner. When it comes to property, the rules apply for all of us the same. So your starting point might be a little bit different, but once you know and understand how everything works, we're all in the same game. It's like Monopoly. We're all on the same board. Doesn't matter if you've got a car or a horse. We all gonna play this game. So it's it, and that's what ex that's what exciting for me,
It is exciting. It's exciting to see you grow. It's exciting to see other people grow, and I'm excited to about my own journey. So Dev, thank you very much for sharing your time. I'll put contact details, as I say, down below so that people can reach out for you. And anyone who's looking at starting with property investment, building a portfolio, irrespective of how risk adverse you are, it's only a conversation. Let's have a conversation. Let's get along to one of these free seminars, absolutely nothing to lose by just getting some information or putting your toe in the water. So, Dev, thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.
Fantastic. Thank you, Lorraine. Have a good day.
Thank you. Bye.